Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for ye, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who've not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I'm absent from you in body, I'm present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray once more. Father, as we think about this passage, please would you enlighten our minds. Please cause us to think your thoughts and to see the truth that you have written in this. Amen. We're diving into Colossians. Colossians was a letter written by Paul, the apostle, and it was written to a fairly new church. I mean, all the churches that Paul wrote to were fairly new, weren't they? I mean, this church here, the building, this bit here, the darker bit at the bottom, has been there, I am told, 800 years. Now, none of the churches that Paul wrote to had been there anything like that time. The first churches were planted sometime in the weeks after Jesus rose from the dead, in about 33 AD, give or take a year. And Paul was imprisoned in Rome in the 60s AD. So no church he wrote to was more than 30 years old, and most of them were far, far younger than that. So the people he is writing to here are young Christians. I take it that God has preserved this letter for us to read now so that we hear the same lessons that Paul was teaching those Colossians back then. And so far in Colossians, Paul has outlined that they have become Christians like in the same way that anybody in the world, anywhere else, became a Christian, through hearing the word of God, through believing it, and through putting their trust in Jesus as a result of it. Whether those people were Jewish or Gentile, whether they were Roman citizens, whether they were not, whether they were Greek background, Hebrew background, Egyptian background, whatever background. If they were Christians, they'd become Christians through hearing, believing, and trusting. And then he opens up the window onto who it is they put their trust in. And it is the enormous, almighty Jesus Christ, the creator from the beginning of time, the one on whom everything depends. Everything holds together in him and through him. He is the glory of God made known to human beings through the incarnation. And he's the one who has all authority. He's before all things. It's this one they've put their trust in. But how are they going to continue as Christians? It's a good question, isn't it? I imagine all of us here at some point or another have felt that either our personal faith or our church's direction or something has been slightly wavery somehow. And we thought, how are we going to keep going? Well, this is the question that the Colossians were facing, because they had all sorts of different ideas coming at them from outside of the church, and there were a danger of coming into the church through, not through choice of the Colossians so much, but just by osmosis in their culture. You know what it's like, don't you? Maybe you've been to a church with a very different culture somewhere else, maybe in a different country, and you think, wow, they've got things right that we haven't got right, because they don't have all the cultural hang-ups that we have. And if people from there came to us, they would probably think exactly the same as us here. Osmosis is one of the most dangerous problems, one of the most dangerous risks facing Christians and churches that there is. So how do we stand against the osmosis of the culture coming in and getting hold of us and taking us away? You can see at the end of our passage what's possibly going on here. Chapter 2, verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Notice that Paul didn't say, I tell you this so you don't make a decision not to follow Jesus anymore. It's much more subtle, isn't it? Much more subtle. Now, Paul says that he is working very, very hard for something. Let's start at the beginning of our passage, 1:24. Now, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, as I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard of Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. He's working really hard for something, isn't he? He's willing to suffer for something. Now, that's a curious verse, isn't it? It's a verse that makes you want to scratch your head, because doesn't the Bible tell us that Jesus' work is enough? Isn't that what we were hearing from Ash this morning? That we mustn't add anything to the gospel at all, otherwise we've got no gospel left. So what's Paul saying here? That he fills up in his flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions. Was the cross not enough in Paul's mind? Well, that can't be the case, can it? Because that would be Paul directly contradicting what he says all over his letters, including in Colossians. I think what he means here is that Jesus' death is absolutely enough, but Jesus' death cannot teach the Colossians, can't open the Colossians' church door to the teaching of the Bible. Somebody else has to do that in the power of the cross, in the power of Jesus. Somebody who's there and then. Now, Paul is facing persecution in order to get the message of the cross around the Roman Empire, the eastern end of the Roman Empire, to the Gentiles. He's suffering so that they can hear of Jesus, and so that the Colossians and many other churches, and us now, we're reading this letter, will grow in the faith of Christ. Paul's become a servant of this. He's commissioned by God to make the gospel known in the first instance, and then more and more as he writes and as he teaches within the churches, to present to them the word of God in its fullness. So not just some of the scriptures, but all of the scriptures. He wants them to know everything. He's willing to he's willing to suffer so that the Colossians, and so that we, 20 centuries later, have the pure word of God among us. This is big stuff, isn't it? It's important stuff that Paul's talking about here. It's important enough for him to be whipped, to be imprisoned, to be left for dead. Receiving the word of God in its fullness is a really massive thing for us. Let's pick up at the beginning of chapter 2. Paul writes, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you. It's the same theme, isn't it? Paul's working hard. How hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea, that's a church down the road, and for all who have not met me personally. Have I just gone dead? No, I haven't. That includes us, doesn't it? We haven't met Paul personally, but he was working hard for us. Why is he doing that? Well, he tells us in verse 2. My goal is that we, may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. In order, why? In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Paul wanted the whole church, the church then and the church down the generations, to know Jesus and to know him better day by day by day by day. And he's putting himself on the line for that, because the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge of God and of salvation are in Christ and in him alone. What's the application for us then? The application for us is to be steeped in the word of God, isn't it? Paul and all the apostles put themselves on the line so that we would have the pure word of God. Church history is littered with people who put themselves on the line so that we here would have the pure word of God. I don't know whether back in 2017 at St. Andrew's or at St. Luke's you did anything on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. When I was down at Anlaby, we did a short series on that. And we found out about these people who died so that the pure word of God was preserved in this country, that we can have the Bible in English, that we are allowed to receive communion in both bread and wine, that we are allowed to speak publicly of Jesus and salvation in him by grace alone, through faith alone, in him alone. And since the Reformation, other people too, Wesley, Whitfield, poured themselves out so that this country would know Jesus better. And still today, people put themselves on the line, put their reputations on the line, in other countries, put their lives on the line, so that people would know Jesus. So the application for us is to grab with both hands this opportunity to know Jesus better and better and better day by day, and to know the privilege it is to know him. But also, That verse that we briefly looked at earlier on, chapter 2, verse 4, I tell you this, so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. If we're steeped in God's word, we're not going to be dragged off, are we, by people who are saying, did God really say? That's Satan's earliest trick, isn't it? And it's the one he uses still. Did God really say the Bible says that? And we know where the Church of England's gone with that recently. We won't go there right now. If we're steeped in the Word of God, we will not be dragged away. Instead, we will know Jesus more and more and more. And as we know Jesus more, so we become like him more. And so we live God's way in God's world more. And so we shine like stars, borrowing words from Philippians, and draw others into us here at St. Andrew's and at St. Luke's, and praise God. We've got a lot of new people around at the moment, haven't we? Which is just a joy and a privilege. What a great thing that is. What would Paul say to us if we were here? If he was here, we are here. What would Paul say to us if he was here? I think he would say, St. Andrew's, St. Luke's, I poured myself out for you, but not as much as Jesus did. I poured myself out so that you would know him, so that you would be steeped in the knowledge of him, so that you would love him more, so that you would know his love more. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing it more and more and more. Get yourselves into God's word individually. And if you're already doing that, do it more. And stay with your church noses in the scriptures so that you will know the treasure of the wisdom and knowledge that is in Christ Jesus. Let me pray. Our Father, thank you for Paul's hard work. Thank you for the hard work of those who've come after him. And we pray that we would be those, individuals and churches, who grasp this opportunity, this privilege, and treasure it because of the treasure who is Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.